Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning. It is really a privilege and an honor to be here with you this morning online. These are unusual circumstances, and churches across the world have gone online this morning to do worship and to reach out to their congregations and constituents. And so if you're a guest, we want to thank you for being here today. And just in a little while, we're going to flash up a number on the screen that we're going to ask you to text into, and just text the word here, just to let us know that you are here this morning. We're going to continue in our Galatians study. And that might seem a little bit unusual for us to be moving straight into our series that we've been in for a few weeks now. But as we were looking at the news and as we were watching things taking place related to the coronavirus and school cancellations and sports cancellations and just seeing everything that was going on, the book of Galatians chapter 2, beginning in about verse 14, is a significant passage for us and actually addresses in some ways what's taking place in our world today. And so I want to invite you, if you will, to turn to Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to be looking this morning at what Paul has to say to the church at Galatia about fearfulness. So last week we looked at how Paul spoke to the church of Galatia, and he was fighting for freedom. He was going toe-to-toe with those who had moved into the church of Galatia, and we're trying to say that Paul wasn't as much an apostle as others, so he's been defending his apostleship. Then they were also trying to say that Paul's message was not the true message of Scripture, that you can't just be saved and be made right with God simply by putting your faith in Jesus, that you had to put your faith in Jesus and essentially become a Jew, to be circumcised, to follow the requirements of the Old Testament law. And so these Judaizers had come into the church of Galatia. Paul's writing this letter to them to insist that it is only God's grace that saves us through faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus plus anything is equal to nothing. And so this morning, we're going to look at this really uncomfortable showdown that takes place, that Paul is writing back to the church at Galatia about something that happened between him and Peter and Barnabas. It's particularly relevant in today's climate of turmoil, which has produced so much fearfulness. There have been sweeping decisions that have been made across our world recently. Some of us are praising those decisions as being prudent, and some of us are concerned about those decisions being overreactive. And we don't know where we really fall in any of this. But where we're confident is that any decision that's based on fearfulness has the potential to erode our confidence in who Jesus is. And so this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's important for us to land in a place where we, as followers of Jesus Christ, can model joy and peace in a fear-filled world. And so in Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, if you'll join me there, we're going to read, and it says, "But when Cephas, speaking of Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, because he feared those from the circumcision party. And then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas in front of everyone, 'If you, who are a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews?'" And so we look at this uncomfortable encounter that Paul is recounting to the people in Galatia. And essentially, he's describing this time that he was in Antioch and Peter had come up from Jerusalem to visit this burgeoning and exploding church of new Christians in Antioch, a church that was filled with Jews and also with Gentiles. And Peter had walked into this situation and just seen everyone's enthusiasm, everyone's gratitude, and just felt the vibrancy of this church. And Peter had come in and Peter was enjoying potluck with everybody else. They were having all kinds of different foods. Peter was even eating some of the bacon that they'd had on the potluck. And so Peter was just enjoying himself. So they're having one of these encounters, and Peter looks across the room and he sees some guys that he knows from Jerusalem. He knows what their background is. He knows that they would frown on him engaging with and dining with these Gentiles in the way that he is. And out of fearfulness, Paul says, Peter withdrew from these new Christians. And he did so in such a way and so dramatically. You got to remember, Peter is an apostle. Peter was one of the inner three with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. When Peter withdraws, it carries a lot of weight. And so it just quells the spirit in the church of Antioch quickly. People begin to get very uncomfortable. People began to play sides and play favorites. And Barnabas himself, who was one of the apostles that the church had sent up to Antioch to look at this new exploding church full of Gentiles, Barnabas himself is even drawn into what Paul describes as hypocrisy. It's a really uncomfortable and unpleasant and awkward situation. It's made even more awkward by the fact that Paul steps up and Paul speaks out, and he does so publicly. If you glance back down at your scriptures, it isn't just that Paul pulls Peter aside and says, "Hey, Peter, we got to talk about this." It's very clear that Paul says he confronts Peter in front of them all. It is an apostolic throwdown. As Paul and Peter are going toe-to-toe in disagreement, and Paul says that he is doing this for the sake of the gospel itself. What is at stake is the gospel. Is can we be saved only by faith in Jesus Christ? Or is our salvation dependent on what we do for God by obeying the Jewish laws and regulations? And so Paul is going toe-to-toe with Peter, insistent that we're saved by grace through faith. Now, in reality, as we look at all this, Peter knew better. Peter knew better than to withdraw. It's labeled as hypocrisy by Paul, but we've already, in our Acts study a couple years ago, we've already looked at this reality. In Acts chapter 10, there's some important scriptures there. Because in Acts chapter 10, what takes place is Peter has had a dream which has led him to the house of Cornelius, who is a Gentile. When he gets there, he's prompted by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household. They're Gentiles now. Peter's a Jewish apostle. This is the early, early days of the church. Peter preaches the gospel to Cornelius and his household. They get saved. The Holy Spirit falls on them. They speak in tongues. And everyone rejoices. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 35, Peter comes back and he says, "Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. He sent the message to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." And then in Acts 10, 44 through 45, says that while Peter was still preaching to Cornelius and his household, it says the Holy Spirit came down on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers, the Jews, who had come with Peter, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. So this takes place way before Peter's encounter with the Gentiles in Antioch. And then in Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, it says that the apostles And the brothers and sisters who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." And so he comes back. He reports what had happened at Cornelius' house. And they respond to him and says, "We cannot believe you ate with unclean Gentiles, with uncircumcised men." And then Peter shares what happened. Peter shares that they believed in the gospel, that they were converted, that the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and the evidence of their salvation was similar to what happened in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached and the Holy Spirit poured out tongues upon all the people in Jerusalem who were converted. Same thing happens with Cornelius. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, after Peter explains, it says, "When they heard this, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, 'So then, God has given repentance resulting in life even to the Gentiles.'" So you would think that would be case closed for Peter. You would think that at that moment, Peter would understand that the gospel is free for all peoples. All that is required is faith in Jesus Christ. But here we have Paul recounting this incident at Antioch to the Galatian church, because the Galatian church had been influenced by some of these same people who had come that says you have to be circumcised to be saved. And so Paul writes back and he says, "I want to go toe-to-toe with Peter." Paul is consistent. From Antioch all the way to Jerusalem and to Galatia, he's telling them that he's doing this for the truth of the gospel. In verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, it says he did it for the truth of the gospel. In verse 5 of Galatians chapter 2, he says, "So that the truth of the gospel would be preserved for you." Paul is consistent. He's going toe-to-toe because the sake of the gospel is at stake. We see the influence of fear. We see the influence of error. Peter's fine so long as these other folks don't come, but Peter cares what they think about him. Unfortunately, Peter is drawn astray. Barnabas is drawn astray. And then you see the severity of Paul's response. He confronts him to his face in front of everyone. It is a public, humiliating, awkward moment for the entire church at Antioch. One commentator said the defection of Barnabas was of a far more serious nature with regard to Gentile freedom than the vacillation of Peter, because Barnabas had been the foremost champion of Gentile liberty next to Paul, and Barnabas himself at this point had become a turncoat. And so we see in this passage in Galatians chapter 2 what fear does even to believers. When we allow fear to lodge within our hearts, fear shrinks faith. Fear isolates. Fear corrupts. Fear causes doubts. And fear grows. I like what John Bloom said in an article on the Desiring God website. He says, "The Father wants us to increasingly find freedom from fear. You see, real freedom is not the liberty to do what we want or the absence of distress. Real freedom is the deep-seated confidence that no matter what, God will provide everything we need. The person who believes this is the freest of all persons on earth, because no matter what situation they find themselves in, they have nothing to fear." We see in Galatians chapter 2, as Paul writes to this church, saying, "Don't fear these Judaizers that are coming in, adding things to the gospel." He says, "I went toe-to-toe with Peter for the preservation of the truth of the gospel." We see that Peter's fear was infectious. It's a sobering lesson for spiritual pride. You may remember that Peter is also the apostle on the last night of Jesus' life. As they're participating in the Last Supper, Jesus prophesied that they would fall away. And Peter looked at Jesus and said, "Even if all of these fall away, I will not deny you." And here he is again, messing up because of fearfulness. Thank God for Peter, right? Thank God that we have a rock of the faith, that we have an apostle like Peter who makes mistakes, who encounters fear, who falls, but who rises again. Martin Luther, the famous reformer, said, "No man's standing is so secure that he may not fall. If Peter fell, I may fall. But if he rose again, I may rise again." We have the same gifts that they had, the same Christ, the same baptism and the same gospel, the same forgiveness of sins. You know, as we face a lot of fear in our world today from the coronavirus and our response to it, and just not knowing exactly what's happening out there, we're in good company with the church of history. You see, across history, the church has faced global sickness, and the church has shone brightly in the behavior and the care of followers of Jesus Christ throughout the ages. Has been a revelation to those who don't believe in God, that God is indeed real, that God cares, and that God lives through the people of the church. In fact, people's care has become a powerful apologetic to the fact that faith is real and that we have a loving, caring, risen Lord. In the second century, there was what is known as the Antonine Plague. It swept and devastated the Roman Empire. But because of Christians who cared for the sick, even at risk to their own lives, Christianity spread rapidly. But it was the plague of Cyprian that led to the crisis of the third century in the Roman Empire that caused the explosive growth of the church. Because Christians refused to flee cities encountering this plague. Christians instead would care for the sick. Christians would stay and minister such that even a century later, the Emperor Julian, who was known as an apostate, would say this about Christians. He said they contributed to atheism, which is interesting. But what the Emperor Julian meant was they had a pantheon of gods in the Roman world, and the Christians were preaching one true God, and Romans and people across the Roman Empire were converting to faith in Jesus Christ and leaving their many gods and embracing atheism, so to speak, not believing in many gods any longer, but believing in the one true God. And the Emperor Julian would say this, "When it came about that the poor were neglected and overlooked by our priests," speaking of the pagan Roman priests, he said, "then I think the impious Galileans," speaking of Christians, "observed this fact and devoted themselves to philanthropy." These Christians, these Galileans, support not only their poor, but ours as well. "And all men see that our people lack aid from us." Christians stayed in these afflicted cities when pagan leaders, including their physicians, fled. And now nearly 18 centuries after the plague of Cyprian, Christianity still prompts us to run toward the plague when everyone else is running away. We do not fear. In these days of coronavirus, the Church of Jesus Christ will discover new, creative, powerful ways to be the church in times of social distancing and isolation and quarantine and fearfulness. So while the world is focused on plague and coronavirus, the best thing that we can do is, as we look back at Galatians and we look at Paul fighting for the purity of the gospel, the best thing that we can do is do what Paul did, is we want to keep the gospel pure and we want to keep the gospel peopled. And what I mean by that is we fight for the fact that you are saved simply through trusting in the name of Jesus, through confessing your sins, by receiving His sacrifice on the cross as payment for your own sins. and trusting Him for salvation. So we keep the gospel pure, but we also keep the gospel peopled. And what I mean by that is, in these days of social distancing and isolation and quarantine, we must continue to be in people's lives. Whether it's through creative means online, or whether it's through texting, or whether it's through visits, or through carefully managed small gatherings. It is so important that we keep the gospel peopled. We don't get sidetracked from our mission because of death or even absurd buyouts of toilet paper at Walmart. We have what humanity has always needed, a love relationship with God by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He really is the hope of the world. And so what do we do in a time of fear? Well, we can take lessons from these Galatians. And so as we wrap up this morning, I need to remind you that fear is a mind game. Fear is a mind game. And so it's very important in these days to focus your mind. In the Screwtape Letters, which is a fantastic book written by C.S. Lewis, it is a book that contains a dialogue between a junior demon known as Screwtape and Satan himself. They're strategizing about how to tempt or to distract or to discourage or even to destroy the faith of Christians and tempt them to sin. And Screwtape says in the dialogue, "There's nothing like suspense and anxiety for barricading a human's mind against the enemy." Of course, when Screwtape speaks of the enemy, speaks of God. God wants men to be concerned with what they do, but our business is to keep them thinking about what will happen to them. And then Satan responds later on in the conversation, and Satan says, "It is far better to make men live in the future. It is unknown to them, so that making them think about it, we make them think of unrealities." Paul would write to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and Paul would say, "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things." Think on these things. Literally, focus your mind on what is good and right and lovely. What that would mean is that we increase the positive content in our lives and we limit the negative content in our life. It would probably mean staying off of Facebook in times of crisis, avoiding fearfulness and embracing the Word of God, reading Philippians, reading a psalm a day, reading through Galatians. There's an old adage about you have two dogs, and whichever dog you choose to feed the most is the dog that's going to be stronger in your life. And so if you feed the dog of fear instead of feeding the dog of faith, you can draw conclusions to what would happen. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 reminds us about the importance of our minds. It says, "Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." And so one thing to fight fear in this day and age is to make sure that we are controlling our minds. Another way that we can fight fearfulness is to call Christians out with gentleness, but boldly, for being influenced by fear. It's an uncomfortable reality to think about in 2020. We don't like confrontation. We don't like conflict. But it's very clear in Galatians that Paul went toe-to-toe with Peter because Peter's fearfulness was affecting his testimony. Peter's fearfulness was actually impacting Barnabas and the entire church at Antioch. And so in this day and age, it is so important for us to remember the words that Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, where Paul says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. And then lastly, I would say it's so important for us to remember the gospel. That's what Paul was insistent upon as he wrote to the Galatians. He goes toe-to-toe with Peter for the sake of the gospel. He confronts the Galatian church for deserting the truth of the gospel so quickly because of these Judaizers that came into the church. So remember the gospel and grow in your love of Jesus. He is so good. He is the Prince of Peace. He is not the agent of fear or confusion. Paul got worked up about the gospel. We should also get worked up about the beautiful gospel. It's the message of salvation, God's gift of righteousness to any who would trust in Him. He is so good, this Jesus, who has defeated sin, who has defeated death, who has defeated disease. We can place our faith completely in Him. Next week, we'll look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. I wanted to read this to you from a translation that we don't often look at. It's the Message version. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, it says this: "We know very well that we are not set right by God by rule keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ." How do we know? We tried it, and we had the best system of rules the world has ever seen, convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement. We have believed in Jesus as the Messiah, so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, not by trying to be good.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.